sorry. Chapter 23 and verse 39. To the end of verse 43. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And the intention is God helping us to notice the, particularly, the confession of one of the thieves. Wonderful confession of sin. And no doubt grief, we can confess our sins because we're in a corner, like Pharaoh. But there was no real grieving over the wrong he had done. But this man, we believe, in confessing his sin, I know, to his brother thief, that it was in effect, you can be sure of that, in his heart, to the God against whom he sinned, and to the very person that was beside him on the cross, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's the kind of confession we all need. Confessing our sin in grief unto the God of eternity. And at what point would have been to the God of eternity as he went to the Lord Jesus Christ if he was convinced there was no point? But he must have believed with all his heart there was point in confessing his sin. He must have understood the gospel and that truth which Christ famously left with us. "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And it's pretty obvious that he must have had a good comprehension of that wonderful truth. And therefore he says to Christ, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And of course, Christ answered him, and he'll answer any person who are thus minded and of this sort, to be sure of that, for he turns his back on nobody. "For him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Hence Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." But first of all, this confession on the part of the thief. We know the story of the two thieves, and we know the cunning and the intentional, we believe, engagement on the part of the church at that time, which was in a sad and sorry state, to crucify Christ between two criminals. The whole thought behind that, obviously, was that here's someone who says he's the Messiah. He's not. Look at him. He's crucified between two criminals, murderers and thieves. That's what the wicked do, of course. They try to brand the righteous with the wicked and will do smart things to corner them and bring them down in the eyes of the world. Well, they may have succeeded in doing that in the hearts of some people, no doubt. But in the eyes of the righteous judge, they failed entirely. And Christ is operating and engaging himself in a very righteous manner, praying for the likes of this thief. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Engaging himself in the presence of the Father, we believe, with all his heart, with all his soul, to receive the sword of justice in his soul and knowing that the cry, and he knew of that cry from all eternity, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man of my right hand. And the wonderful thing is that the thief had some comprehension of this remarkable occasion. And therefore he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now, first of all, confession is an important exercise in the life of every one of us. And we know, as I said already, confession can be because a man is cornered and he's sorry he's cornered and he's got no regrets for what he has done. But the confession that matters, friend, is that confession which has with it a bleeding heart over the wickedness of the present and of the past. It's to come to know something of the abhorrent nature of sin. Here was the two thieves, and one was in a scoffing way saying to Christ, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. Plain religion. That's what he was doing. He didn't believe in Christ. Well, may God save us from that plain art religion and not realizing who God is and who Christ is. Well, that was one of the malefactors. He was dead in trespasses and in sin. The other was awakened to the reality of sin, which is a wonderful thing. I'm sure he was saying, what a pity this didn't happen to me years and years ago. He wasn't regretting that he was brought to a sense of sin. And the great question, friend, for myself and yourself and your way to eternity, are you coming to the God of eternity confessing your sin? And we know there's all sorts of confessions made by men, and that they will confess something in one sense just to laugh about it. But here is a man and he's before God. Yes, he's confessing his sin to his brother thief. And there is that in confession too. When we have wronged somebody, we will have some sense of having done what was done not only against God but our fellow creature, and we will confess to them. Or if we have done sin together, there's something in true confession of sin. Although you did not wrong a brother, thief or whatever, in some way that you want to tell that person. But the great thing, friend, in confession of sin is to come to your Maker. Is to come to your Maker. Is to come to the God who made you and to tell him. And you're not telling him as one who doesn't know you. You're telling him because he knows you. And you're not coming to tell him as one who doesn't know the extent of your sin, the depth of your sin, the wickedness of your sin, the cunningness of your sin, the minute things in your sin. You're coming to him because he knows you better than you know yourself. And you're coming to him because he is your creator. And you're coming to him because he's your judge. And you're coming to him because you're accountable to him. And you're coming to him because you're accountable, truly answerable to him, more than to any person on the face of the earth. Although it would be of your flesh, of one body. It's God that you've sinned against. And as surely as God sees me, I know he sees all men, and he sees me, and it's a trouble to me. And when this man said to his brother thief, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. Our deeds. No one deed, but all our deeds. And what a nakedness that is, friend. Thou, God, seest me, my sinful past, and my sins that nobody else knows about. My sins in secret, my sins in the dark. And remember, friend, if we are going to come to Christ, surely it is reasonable that we would know why we come to Christ. Surely it's reasonable to appreciate the extent of our filthiness. Behold, I am vile. What a change. These two men who did horrible things together, and the vilest of things, and the worst of things, to go and murder someone. God knows it all. Well, friends, ever ask yourself, have you come to confess your sin? Because it does say, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And you know the psalm we read, there's confession there. And many other psalms. Psalm 25 is a confession of sin. Psalm 32 and many others. And thereupon have unto thee my sin acknowledged. And likewise mine iniquity I have not covered. I will confess unto the Lord. My trespasses said I. And of my sin thou freely didst forgive the iniquity. How many people would David have to confess the horror he did of his fellow men, and especially those who were near to him in his sin? But when he makes that psalm and that petition, Psalm 51, against thee only have I sinned. And that is something about confession. We are deeply conscious it's principally against God. Yes, I've hurt this person. I've spoken wrongly. But it's against God. And we must come to this, friend, every one of us, with the assurance, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And our sins have to be forgiven. There are situations in this life, and you know, if a friendship is to be struck up again, if a broken friendship parts between you and someone else, you know there's an object, a subject, a something, and it's the wrong you did. And the only solution is to come before that person and tell them, I'm sorry. But there's a higher person, and that is the God of eternity. So while the thief was confessing to his brother thief, when he saw the ignorance of his brother thief to go on in his pretense religion, he rebuked him. And that's another thing in connection with confession: a readiness to rebuke those whom you took part in, you tell them. Because, you know, sinning with someone else brings you close together. But when you realize the exceeding sinfulness of sin, you must tell that person, you feel that. And that's no doubt what was in this man's mind when he told his brother thief, "Dost not thou fear God? We receive the due reward of our deeds." Well, friend, that is factual, that the principal person is the God of eternity. Confessing to a false priest of Rome, or to confess to somebody you hurt, will never deliver you from a fiery awareness of the wrong you've done against the God of eternity. Pray for poor Roman Catholics who confess to priests and priests to the Pope. It's a fallacy, it's an emptiness, it's a trick of the devil. Well, this man, we're sure, has poured out his heart to the God of eternity. Have you poured your heart out to the God of eternity? Have you told him? And you've told him also sins you know nothing about. And you say, forgive me of all my sin. The sins I know, and very few I know of all the sins I ever did. Well, the point is, this man, we're sure, was bearing his heart before Christ and before the God of eternity. And do you go into your closet and do that kind of thing? I hope so. If not, you're not in the straight and narrow way. But also, in connection with his confession of sin, there is in it the admission of being on the cross was entirely his own fault. Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And Christ was condemned wrongly, but this man knew he was condemned rightly. And he says of that condemnation and the hanging on the cross, we indeed justly. In confession, friend, is not only a knowledge of the exceeding sinfulness of sin, but it's an acknowledgement of the penalty of sin. Of course, every confession of sin is related to the law of God. It's not related to some ritual of Rome or of a heathen religion. It's related to God himself and to the laws that God has given us. And now the penalty. And this man is saying, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. Remember, this man is on a cross. Remember, this man is hanging there by his hands and by his feet. And I'm sure, as you've read and come across something of this sort, is one of the cruelest ways to deprive a man of his life. And he's saying to his fellow thief, we indeed justly. And that's something, friend, also in connection with sin and the harm it does to us, and harm in providence. And this was a solemn providence and a fearful, fiery providence. And he's saying, we indeed justly. And have you come to that, friend? And you can identify things in your life. And you can identify the horror of some things in your life. And the sheer fear put you in. And the terror it put you in. And some people will say, why does God deal with me in this manner? Some will accuse God of being a cruel God. But if you were taught of God and by the Spirit of God regarding your sin and the exceeding sinfulness of your sin, no surprise that thus and thus it is with me. No surprise. And you can see the hand of God in it. That's how you see it. That's not how you saw it before. Horrible things that happened to you. Hard luck. Something like that. Or why has it happened to me? This man is of a clear mind. We indeed justly. We indeed justly. And when sinners, finally, Christless, godless sinners find themselves in hell, I can assure you They will see the justice of God, although they don't agree with it. But on this earth, this is the place where we ought to say we indeed justly, and you agree with it, because you know something of the exceeding sinfulness of sin. You know you have wronged the God of eternity. We indeed justly. Oh, what a change, what a saving change that is. And the carnal mind may identify something they've done wrong, relating it to the punishment. And I'm in prison, and I can identify the sentence, and the awful sentence it may be in some cases, and in the past the death penalty, and they can identify it. But they're angry. They see something of the inhumanity of man to punish them, but they can identify the relationship between the wrong and the punishment. And before the God of eternity, if you're taught by God's word and spirit, friend, you can say in truth, justly, thou art just in all thy ways. God is just in all his ways, and he's done me no wrong. And if we're taught of God, we will say, it's a wonder it's not worse. It's a great wonder. It's not many times more terrible and dreadful. We're speaking of a person who's been taught by God's word and spirit of the exceeding sinfulness of sin against the God of eternity, and is angry with the wicked every day, and you see and you realize and you believe he's just. He's just. And the wicked in hell, I believe, will say he's just. But they're not going to acquiesce in it. But a person who's taught on this earth acquiesces in it. First submits, but when they think it out and think it through, they're acquiescing in it. It's right. We indeed justly. And he goes on to say, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. We who are created in the image of God, we who are given the law of God, we to whom it is said, do this and live. And we never do. And that to be imprinted in your mind, in your soul, with a full realization. God made me, and he put me under his law, and I'm accountable to him. And it is thus and thus with me, because of my deeds. And there is where hell comes in. There's where hell comes in. The thief here is speaking immediately in connection with the crucifixion. And we believe with all our heart he was also aware of a lost eternity. And the justice of God to put him to a lost eternity. And the justice of God to say to him, depart from me, accursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And it's only grace and the workings of a gracious God in your soul that will bring you to that position and bring you to that gracious admission before the God of eternity, and we indeed justly. You know, friend, as well as I do, and you've met people, or go back in your own life, and you did something, and you're feeling the hurt of it, were you graciously confessing to God? No. Well, may we be of this sort, like this man here. And if we're ever, friend, going to come to the remedy, it is necessary to have conviction of sin, confession of sin, and an acknowledgement of sin and the evil of it and the just penalty of it. Thus it was with this malefactor. And he was hiding nothing from his brother thief, his brother murderer. And there is something of that, I think I said that already, in relationship to our own friends or whatever. Because you're anxious to tell them the change that has come over you. And the thief was with this malefactor rebuking the thief. You should be sure of this. He was wishing his brother thief would see it. That's why it was one of the reasons why he was speaking to him. Dost not thou fear God? And where there is a working of the Spirit of God in the hearts of men to come to see this exceeding sinfulness of sin, you want with whom you ever sinned to wish that they would come along with you and that they too would be of the same mind as you are. But the wonderful thing in connection with what was happening here with the thief, he saw the wonderful heart of God, a God who forgives sin. He knew something about Christ. He knew a lot about Christ, in fact, when he could say, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What a surprising thing to come from this man, or to come from any person, that they're crying to God for mercy. And what a wonderful advancement that is in confessing our sin, in telling God, and a broken heart over sin, and a weeping over sin. It's not a case of being hopelessly lost. Yes, hopelessly lost in myself, but not hopelessly lost in the power, in the mercy, in the pardoning of God. To be sure, hopelessly lost in myself, but not hopelessly lost in that there's nothing in Christ for me. There's nothing in the God of eternity for me. And even supposing that person is saying, well, it's for others, it's not for me. But you'll find that person, if it's been taught by God, that when others seem to be enjoying a measure of peace, why not me? And this thief came to God, we believe. Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our sins. But this man has done nothing amiss. He was seeing something in the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And no doubt he had, we suppose, sufficient. He must have had. Because he could never go on to say, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He must have heard. Of course he did. As I said, for how could he say, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And we're all under the gospel. Have we got this conviction of sin? And we know the remedy, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What a bright thing in the life of this person, to look beyond the tremendous, awful wickedness, and that the only answer was condemnation, and that the wicked shall be turned into hell, that he could say with the next breath, remember me, and to be sure, he'd be thinking of his brother thief too. And remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And he went directly to the person whom he heard so much about, being in the At that time, and the tremendous things that were said about Christ and heard about Christ and seen about Christ. And we have the great privilege, friend, of knowing about Christ and all these Gospels, all that history and the epistles. We know a lot about Christ. Do we know about conviction of sin? And now we're looking within and under our conviction, under the sentence of death, to God Himself. We're looking to God Himself. We're looking to the judge with the realization of all the matters that has been poured upon us into our ears over many years, that God pardoneth iniquity, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. What a horrendously wicked man Saul of Tarsus was, who could be so self-satisfied with his wretched wickedness to persecute the church of God, and to watch Stephen being stoned, and to hold the cloaks of the murderers as some meritorious thing, has come to this. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's the end, friend, and the wonderful end of knowing yourself as a sinner. Of knowing that the only place in the whole universe for you is a lost eternity. You see, there's an answer in God Himself. That's what this man has. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. So, on a day of confession, there's more to it than mere confession. We're confessing the remedy. We're confessing the Savior anew. Do you know anything of that, friend? And surely our experience of communion seasons, the Thursday, a day of confession, that must have been the case with the fathers or any church after being in existence for so many years, do have a day of confession. We in our communion season, or communion seasons, or it may be a special day set apart by the church. That's been going on and on. We know that's not mere confession. It's that we would also highlight the Lord God merciful and gracious, who pardoneth iniquity and who passeth by the transgressions of his people. Some poor souls feel very smug. I've confessed my sin, and that's what it must be, of course, in Romanism. They feel smug. They've confessed to the priest, and he pronounced forgiveness. But we can feel smug confessing our sins, even to God Himself, making it a kind of a work. And we're at the works of the law, even in confessing our sin to God. But true confession, friend, is a coming finally to Christ. Lord, remember me. I need thy mercy. I need thy pardon. I need thy peace. And that is what the thief had, the publican had. God, be merciful to me, he said. Be merciful to me. And sadly, some of us can speak about ourselves. We're not speaking about you in particular. Preachers know something about these matters. How we can make a religion of confessing sin. But the fullness of the whole matter of confession of sin is, Lord, remember me. have mercy upon me. And the whole wonderful revelation of redemption opens up to us. And what do we see in Christ in particular? We see in Christ bearing the sins of many. And that sin cannot be disposed of just because you confessed your sin. The only way your sin can be disposed of is that it be punished. Let it be punished. And that's what the gospel is all about. That's what it's all about. Punishment. Punishment for sin. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man in my right hand. And this man knew about these things. And the wonderful thing is, too, in connection with him saying, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Just think for a minute, Christ is on the cross. Christ, in the eyes of the world, is a defeated person. Christ, whatever his cause was a lost cause. Not for this man. He sees Christ as having a kingdom. He must have known a lot about Christ. When thou comest into thy kingdom, he must have realized something about the cross. He must have realized something about the glorious things that Christ said time and time again in the room and in the place of his people. Punishment for sin. And there's no sinner in glory today but punishment has been meted out not upon that sinner but upon Christ. And this thief understood that. How marvelous that was. And how marvelous the teaching of the Spirit of God. And there must be knowledge beforehand, as I said. We've got the knowledge of these things. But we have this awareness. The awfulness of Christ and the cross of Calvary. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He knew fine. But it's there for our teaching. He's forsaken because the sword of justice is in his soul. And this thief, imagine, in such a short time, is awake to this and realizes this. In how many minutes? How many years have you been under the gospel? Do you realize it? How many hours was he there? How many hours in your life? In a few hours, taught by the Spirit of God, you realized it. How many hours have been run over you? Do you realize it? The need for punishment. That your sins be punishment, and you can't take the punishment yourself. It's too heavy for you. It's too heavy for you. It's a bottomless pit. There's no end to the punishment. This man understood Christ, the Redeemer, the Savior. The seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. Well, friend, what is our confession today? Has it got these things in it? And the great marvel of Christ bearing the sins of many. He shall bear their iniquities. Or is it all something to you? Dry. The same old story. That should make you weep, friend. If that's you and the hardness of your heart, and after so many years of hearing about sin and confession and the remedy, and the pain suffered by Christ. As this man understood in such a short time, ask God to help you. But God's people know about these things, and they know in their own lives about these things. And the wonderful answer on the part of Christ: today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He wasn't left, not at all. We may be left for a period, certainly when we are doing the right thing. God is not bound to answer immediately. But the very fact that he answered, and answered this man, is an encouragement for sinners like us, should we come to Christ, that we will, when we die, be with Christ in glory in paradise. And if we're not in Christ, it's not paradise we'll be in, but in a lost eternity. Well, this story here, the history, a small part of the history of Christ, indeed all the Gospels is a small part, and a very small part of the history of Christ. I wonder how many such cases were in the history of Christ if they were put all together. John speaks about the world could not contain the books, but he's left us with sufficient to know that he is one. If you come to him brokenhearted over your sin and realizing the penalty is death, that's eternal death. It's not merely your body, it's body and soul. And here he is in time. It's not something he says in eternity, he says it in time. Today shall thou be with me in paradise. And you should think, myself with you, what day am I going to die? It'll be exactly the same for me and for you. Today shall thou be with me in paradise. As sure as that was for the thief, it's as sure for you also. For none perish that in trust. Are these not wonderful encouragements? Of course they are. And I assure you, friend, it's true. Well, may we be among such as will indeed know something of what the thief enjoyed in his soul. The fact that he heard it, what a consolation. But the actual fullness of it would not be until his spirit left his body. Well, under the gospel, friend, have we come to understand and appreciate this today? Someday ahead, you will be with me in paradise. But you will not enjoy the fullness of it and the wonder of it until you close your eyes in death and your spirit flies away to the eternal world to be in the bosom of Christ. Where are you for eternity? Well, remember this short part of the history of the gospel. May God bless his word to us. Let us conclude. O eternal and ever gracious God, thou bless and pity us, and shine on us with thy face, that we would know these matters which are brought to our attention and are for us. As sure as it was for the thief, so it's for us too. May we believe that. For Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. May we relish that. And may we rely on him and receive and rest upon him alone for salvation. So bless us, we beseech thee, and forgive us now of all our sins, and accept of us. In the name of the Saviour, amen.